Well, today we begin a new series, which I feel in my heart is going to be a blessing, but I also know that when we deal with these matters, it can also be very challenging. So the first thing I want to mention is the title of this series, and it is Last Days with a Question Mark. Because I think people have wondered throughout time, when is Jesus coming back? And I think that urgency of preparing our hearts that it could be any moment is something that we see in Scripture as really God's alignment for our readiness. But we see this as well. There are shadows that will appear of certain events that will get us ready and get that generation ready that will be the last generation. Shadows of the last days are all around us. And what I asked this morning, and what I've been asking for a long time, God, make me aware of the times that I live in. Lord, are we living in the last days? And I think Jesus made it very clear to us. We are in the last days, but are these the last of days? And that is something that God will have to reveal and make clear to our heart. But this is something I want to touch on real quick. So much information. I'm going to do my best to go through it in chunks and not get overwhelmed. But here, the prophet Daniel, through the prophet Daniel, God said, humanity, I'm going to give you a glimpse of what awaits you. So through the prophecy of Daniel, we see this prediction of all of these different ruling powers that would wind down man's time upon this earth before the return of Christ. And we are at that moment now. Some people have said, I heard a commentator say this, is that people talk about this period between the Old Testament and the New Testament that was silenced. And I heard this commentator say this. He says, no, it wasn't silent. Daniel's prophecy told us what would be going on between the New and the Old Testament, that period of time. So God did not want us to be people that were not aware. He wanted us to understand the times that we live in and to be aware. And through his mercy and grace, he's given us a heads up, and he's allowed us to have ears that are open. And we also see this. In Revelation, mercy came and said, this is what is awaiting you before my return. God didn't have to do that, did he? He did not have to give us signs and understanding of how near he is. But his mercy and his grace did. And so we're going to focus in chapter 13 of Revelation. And before we go there, I just want to read something that I don't have on the slide. And that is Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. And it reads as follows. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his bond servants the things which must soon take place. And he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bond servant John. The revelation of who? Jesus Christ. For all the bond servants, all those that are children of God, so that we would not be unaware, given to John so that it would be recorded for our hearing today. And we jump to chapter 13, verse 1, as we deal with this first section called global government. What is a shadow of the return of Jesus Christ? One of the shadows that we will see prior to his return is a global government that will cover this earth. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Through Scripture, no doubt. And we look at verse 13, verse 1. And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea. And I saw a beast rising from the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads. On each horn a crown, and on each head inscribed with a blasphemous name. The coming of the beast. The one that we are so commonly aware of in the sense of the term the Antichrist, who has multiple names in the Bible from Old Testament to New, the beast is going to be released upon all of this earth. And here we see an image of the one that he is empowered by, the dragon being Satan, and the Antichrist being the beast. Verse 2, the beast I saw looked like a leopard with bear claws and a lion's mouth. The dragon, look at this very closely, the dragon turned over its power to it, its throne and great authority. So here, coming forth at the end times, is a world leader that will encompass and be embodied with the full power of Satan himself. And as we walk through this study, we will see Satan is a counterfeiter. He is a pseudo man or creation, a fallen angel. And he loves to try to duplicate what is truly God and falsify it. So here, coming out of the sea, is a man given the full power of the dragon within his ability. Do you see any similarities on the horizon? The pseudo-trinity. The dragon representing the Heavenly Father. The first beast representing the Messiah. Satan is going to use the framework of what truth is, and he will infiltrate it with his lies to deceive countless people. We see this, the fullness of Satan's power vested within the beast, who is also known as the false Christ. Verse 3, one of the beast's heads looked as if it had been struck a death blow and then healed. The whole earth was agog, gaping at the beast. Here we see that this world leader will arise to great prominence, and he will not have an appearance of evil. He will have an appearance as a Messiah, as one that will save the world from its trouble. And for some reason, as we look clear at Scripture, we see earlier in the verse where this image of the beast, I looked, it says, the beast I saw looked like a leopard with bear claws and a lion's mouth. Very similar to the descriptive language in Daniel of who this world ruler would be. And now he has arisen on the scene. He is one that brings a coalition of other countries or other leaders. And for some reason, in the broadness of light, he will be wounded in his head. But he will not die. He will rise from it. And I've asked this question in our lives, and especially those that have a little bit more age on them. We've seen horrific head wounds before. We have witness of movie film of one of our presidents having his head, for lack of, just devastated. It will be much like that. This wound that we will witness, this wound that we will see through repetition of video playing, We will see it and we will say there's no way a man could survive that. But he will survive it. And again, as we talked about earlier, we see this pseudo-presence that Satan loves to bring. And it is as if he is mimicking the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But he is not the true Messiah. He is a world leader that countless hearts will treat as their Messiah. It is a false resurrection. It is not the true resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But now look at verse 4. They worship the dragon who gave the beast authority. So here, this world leader is going to have an affinity for giving praise unto evil. And Lucifer is still worshipped today. There are countless people that give honor to evil, not just in spirit, but also in name. And he will draw attention to his authority, which is Lucifer. But how will he go about doing that? It will be in deception. And it will cause countless hearts again to follow. They worship the dragon who gave the beast authority, and they worship too the beast, exclaiming, "There's never been anything like the beast. No one will dare go to war with the beast." His power will be so amazing to man, people cannot even fathom someone standing up against him. His power will be wise in the eyes of fallen man. He will have answers to the trouble that is spreading across the world globally. And if 2020 didn't teach us anything, it taught us this. The world can suffer all at the same time. And this trouble that is under the term global will be expanded to a level where all of earth will seek a right leader. And people will look at him and think there is no way anyone can stand against him. So it would be like this. No nation will have power over him. No people will have power over him. And why would they even try? Just submit and give in. But the submission won't be seen as something negative. It will be seen as a Messiah. As finally the answer has come. Verse 5. The beast had a loud mouth, boastful and blasphemous. You want to know who you follow? Look at the heart of their words. We, as God's people, are not called to follow evil leaders. We, as God's people, are not called to give a pass to evil. We, as God's people, hear voices that elevate their authority above God, and we do not what? Follow. But this world leader will mesmerize the hearts of men so that they will follow, and even in his blasphemy against the word of God, many that call themselves believers will still follow after him. And then we see this. The beast had a loud mouth, boastful and blasphemous. It could do anything it wanted for 42 months. Now hold on a minute. Hitler in Germany could do pretty much anything he wanted. Governments across this world are getting more and more brazen with their power And they're applying their will and their wishes to man's heart, regardless of the liberty that we have in Christ. There are pastors in Canada locked up. There are churches that have been surrounded with fencing to keep people out. And there have been people that have celebrated that within the church. But this leader will have authority that nothing is going to hinder. If you look at that verse again, for 3.5 years, for 42 months, it, speaking of the beast, could do anything it wanted. So we are familiar with the 7-year tribulation as Christians. And we have always been taught that first 3.5 years will be wonderful progress in the name of evil, but man will perceive it as the answer to all trouble. And then all of a sudden, in that last 3.5 years, all hell breaks loose. And if it doesn't make us tremble, it should. Because if we are not willing to stand for Christ in the limited persecution that we suffer now, where would we be then? You know, the go-to for Christians for years has been, I don't have to worry about it. Because I'll be what? Raptured out. And I learned early on that there is no true dogmatic belief in when. Let me just put it this way. I got to make sure I say this right. The Bible teaches us about disputable matters, that we as Christians are going to view things differently. And that's okay. And there's even a category for it. Disputable matters. Agree to disagree. It's a good thing. It's not heresy, is it? No, it's not heresy. So there are extremely intelligent Bible scholars that say we're going to be raptured before the tribulation, and we don't have to worry about what the Antichrist is going to do. And I accepted that for many, many years. Others have said it will happen in the middle of the 7-year tribulation. The church will be raptured out. So you really don't have to worry a lot about what's coming, because you'll be taken out. And then let's be honest. Let's be very honest. A lot of people thought this way. Well, I kind of live lukewarm until I start seeing these signs, and then I'll turn up the heat. You ever been there? I'll be honest. I've been there. But we don't factor in the things about the car wreck or the blood clot. But how sad it is to base our faithfulness on waiting for the sign to come. Faithfulness is what God has already seeded within us through the power of the Holy Spirit within. And faithfulness intensifies when hearts are surrendered to Christ, regardless of what's going on in the world. But so here, we have to take an honest look. Will we be rescued prior to all of this power coming from this world leader? I'm not sure. But I know this, I would prefer to go before. I would really prefer, if that doesn't work out, to go in the mid. And I would really be challenged to go at the very end of the tribulation. But I better be ready for it being the end. Let's go further here in verse 6. It yelled blasphemies against God, blasphemed his name, blasphemed what? His church. Especially those already dwelling with God in heaven. Said like this, church, you don't matter. Another way of putting that, the liquor store is essential, you're not. The church is essential. Because the church is the body of Christ. But this leader will have no affinity for the true church of Jesus Christ. Will he love the false church? He will love it with everything in his heart. Because he will use the fallen apostate church as one of his weapons of deception. In fact, the spirit of the Antichrist is already here in this earth. And the spirit of the Antichrist is infused in many places of worship today. Because the false church is one of the most powerful instruments of deception that Satan has. So, the beast yelled blasphemies against God, blasphemed his name, blasphemed his church, and especially those dwelling with God in heaven. Who's in heaven? Jesus, right? The authors that were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write the Bible. God himself is in heaven. The beast will use words to defame true faith, but he will not go against the apostate church in the sense that he will use it for his purposes. And then we see this, verse 7. Also it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. Now, if anybody tells you that believers in Jesus Christ are not going to feel the weight of the persecution of the Antichrist, they're not telling you the truth. Okay? So here, over the years, many things I've heard. One of them is that these are those that were saved during the tribulation that will meet persecution like no other. But then I have to stop and pause for a minute and realize how many Christians died this week because of their faith in Jesus Christ. How many? A lot. How many heads have been severed for belief in Jesus Christ? Is that not being conquered and overcome? It is. But the overcoming that Jesus is talking about that will not happen is the overcoming of a sealed heart focused and dedicated to God. It is impossible for evil to overcome the Spirit of God that lives in us. The only surrendering that occurs is from the will of the one that is being persecuted. But here is this amazing thing that occurs. When the pressure comes and we stand in Christ, we will endure. So here, by mercy, God is letting us know that this power that is coming upon this leader is going to come against the saints. And I don't like the way it's written here, but it is. It was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given it over, look real close, over every tribe, and people, language, and nation. I.e., he will lead a global government that will have no limitations. So, I have to look at it this way. Global government of evil will be disguised as good. And over the years, and I've shared this before, but over the years, anytime I heard a leader use the term New World Order, it kind of brought chills to me. And the first time I remember hearing that was from a president, Senior Bush. Remember him just boldly saying, we need a New World Order. And I was like, man, that's a little scary. But it's in the working. Global. Pandemic. Global solution. Global economic crisis, global solution. Global climate change or global warming, global solution. Global poverty, global solution. Do you sense in our day and time that there is a coming together of shared suffering throughout the world? If we look around our own country and see how we have fallen in such a desperate state, we are nearing so close to third world countries. If you don't believe that, sometime go and look at the shape of some of our huge cities and how people are living in tents and on canvases and are in utter despair. So, did you ever think that you should feel guilty for being part of a nation that you were born in? Did you? I never thought that. But do you see, the nation is a home that must be attended to. It's just like our families. If we don't take care of our families, we have no business trying to help anybody else. We get our own home in order, then we go beyond to help. Charity begins where? In the home. So God has orchestrated this beautiful method of governance of our family, governance of our city, governance of our state and our nation. But there is a spirit at work to take down the history, the respect, so that we see the answer not being our nation or even our family, but being a world government that will answer all of our questions and fulfill all of our needs. It's been in the working a long time. We've seen it even through, I remember this as a kid hearing, oh, it's coming. I said, so how is it coming? I don't see it coming. And they would say, look at the European Union. Who would have ever thought this part of the world that has fought each other for years and years and years would all form as one? Not only one in the spirit of government, but also even in currency. Who would have ever thought that? Yet it happened. And the gold was it to occur here in North America. Eventually. And then eventually, everything tied together as one. Do I know that it's coming? Yes. I have no doubt it's coming. Does it bother me when I see elements of it being established now? Yes, it does. But you know what, church? There's nothing we can do about it. Nothing. Because it's been foretold what is coming. So where we must stand and stand strong, passionately and faithfully, is understanding the mechanisms that are being placed for not our life, but for our destruction. But in all of the punishment that is going to be poured out upon this earth that has blasphemed God, we know our salvation is complete and secure, and God, for some reason, has placed us here for such a time as this. Do you think God would place people not able to stand in this season that are His church? He has placed His church to be those that endure. But we must perceive, have ears that are open and eyes that are full of God's sight so that we are not led astray under the deception of this beast. Because remember, His spirit is already here in this earth. This earth is the domain of Satan. And by mercy, God has come in and allowed his kingdom to rule within the heart of man so that we rise above the deception. But we must be wise to the spirit and that shadow that is on the horizon. The seal of God will not be broken within us, for we are kept by God. Now, verse 8. Let me go back to verse 7, and we'll read into 8. Also, it was allowed, speaking of the beast, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given it over every tribe, people, language, and nation. And then verse 8. Everyone on earth, can we say that again? Everyone on earth whose name was not written from the world's foundation in the slaughtered lamb's book of life will worship the beast. Now, here's something that this is what my prayer is. God has called me to be a shepherd. And so one of my responsibilities as a shepherd, first of all, is to recognize my fallibility. That's one of the first things. I can mess up, and I accept that. I understand that. But also, I have a responsibility when God places something in my heart to pronounce it as an act of protection for his children, the lambs of God. And so here's the thing. For this to occur, and everyone in the world that is not part of the body of Christ, that has been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, everyone in the world will bow to this beast. For that power to come, there's something that's, I think, has to come first. Global catastrophe that will be so overwhelming that people will be on their knees looking for someone with the answers. But we don't want to talk about that, and I don't like talking about it, but are we at the threshold of something that is so overwhelming that it will cause all religions and all nations, tribe, and tongue to follow one individual? And if I believe the Bible, I have to say, yes, we are at the threshold of that happening. Is it 5 years down the road? Is it 10 years? Is it 100 years? I don't know. But I do know this. I see the shadow. I see the shadow. What happens to a nation that is in trillion upon trillion dollars worth of debt? What does the Bible say about that? When we are in debt to a lender, we are what? We're a slave. And we as a nation have never been in this condition like we are now. What happens if we wake up one morning and the dollar that we trusted in becomes of no value at all? What happens? One of the things that will occur is this. A dependency upon someone or something. And our dependency as those that follow after Jesus Christ are 100% in God. Not our dollar, not our government. Our dependency is 100% in the hands of who? Can you say? Jesus Christ. So that should give us strength and encouragement, but also we're told here in Revelation chapter 13, verse 9, and we hear it because in the NIV, or in the King James, it says it this way. If any man have an ear, let him hear. You know that? Those who have an ear, let them what? Hear. Now, this is the Message Bible. It puts it a little different, but it's still the same meaning. Are you listening to this? What are we supposed to be listening to? What we just read about a coming world ruler, a coming global government, we must not be blind to. We can wish it away. We can want it to not be something that we will experience. But if we're honest, it is all around us, the seeds. They made their bed, verse 10. Now they must lie in it. Anyone marked for prison goes straight to prison. Anyone pulling a sword goes down by the sword. But listen to this, church. Meanwhile, God's holy people passionately and faithfully stand their ground. Let's look at this again. If I give in to this false Messiah, this Antichrist, this false Christ, if I am groomed to accept what is being taught now, then I will be all ready for him when he arrives. If that is my choice to allow the blasphemies of God to go unrejected by my spirit, then I have made my bed. Now they must lie in it. Anyone marked for prison goes straight to prison, meaning that not everyone is going to walk in the seal of God's Holy Spirit. And Scripture lets us know more will fall away than will hold on. The highway to destruction is that, a highway. The road to Jesus and to life is narrow. So we are people that follow the crowd. We are people that find strength in numbers. But God has made it clear, if we walk in that order, those that are marked to walk that way will go straight to their destruction. Anyone pulling a sword goes down by the sword. Another way of saying that, fight this with your own might and you'll lose. Fight it with your own might and you'll lose. So what does that mean? Perceive the season with the mind of Christ rather than the mind of you or me. Perceive what is happening by the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit more than the illuminating power of self-intelligence based on a fallen heart. Be close to the Word like you've never been before. Let the Word have His life, the life of God in you, so that you hear the message that God wants you to hear. Are you listening? We're told even in a reading, Revelation, that we'll get a special blessing. The only book in the Bible that says if you read this book, you're going to be blessed in a very special way. We know reading any scripture blesses us, but for some reason, there is this word that makes it clear, this matters. I'm not going to be tied down with that stuff. We need to understand. And then we see this. Meanwhile, God's holy people. What does holy mean? Set apart people. Guarded hearts. Filled not with the spirit of religion, but filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Passionately and faithfully, and this we must not forget, stand their ground. Are we standing? Are we standing? You know what gives me hope? Jesus is going to plant our feet so solid that when they come, to take our lives, we will not surrender. When they come to our door because they know everything about us because of our addiction to the digital world, and they begin to question us on the things that we trust in, we will not deny in Jesus Christ. We will be established firmly and solid because our trust is in Jesus passionately and faithfully. Right now, after a year and going beyond a year of the craziness that we've suffered, discouragement wants to settle in. It does. Isolating ourselves within our own troubles is what we're drawn to as a protection. But God help us. He has made us for times such as this. Do not give up when life gets difficult. For the struggle is meant for the building of you like nothing else can accomplish. Meaning, the good and easy times don't yield themselves to build us very strong. But the struggle makes us these type of people that are holy because we're not dependent on what we got. We're dependent upon God. We're dependent on the one that has shown up, that will show up regardless of our position and our place in life. Our holy God has made us holy people, passionately given to Him, not numbed out by the deafening cry of the things of this world that war against the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. The world wants to deaden us. The world wants to make us people that make excuses for God. We do not have to make any excuse for God, for God is perfect. God is able. And God will place passion within us and faithfulness. Young people, God placed you here because He knew you could handle it. My wife got mad at me this week. She wants some grandchildren, and that's a good thing. And I made the mistake of saying, well, I don't know if we want to bring children in the world today. What? Yeah, oh, boy, I paid a price for that one. I did. I said, babe, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean I didn't want to have grandchildren. But you know what? Children are an inheritance and a blessing from God. And God saw fit to place you guys here in this earth, not to be destroyed, but to be leaders and people that trust in God like never before. You know, how's our passion right now after 2020 and 2021? All of the statements, it's going to get worse, it's going to get worse. It could get really worse. But how is that affecting our passion and faithfulness to God? How is, and I'm speaking to myself, your stand? Many in the church will adamantly deny that we are in the last days. Naysayers. Nothing's new. Life's always been like this. It's always been struggle, always been persecution, always been earthquakes, always been famine. It's just the way it is. It's not time. I'm telling you, there are going to be people in the church that are going to look the beast right in the eyes. Maybe through a video or a picture, or they may go to one of his rallies. And they're going to swear with all of their heart, we are not in the last days. They will not reject the name of Jesus. They will not give up the church. They will continue to serve in the church, but they will deny that the beast is standing right before them. Why do I know that? Because the Bible teaches us that just as there will be a false Christ in the last days, there will be an apostate church that will continue. And we're going to talk more about the global religion in one of our lessons that we'll have, one of the messages in the series. Many in the church will adamantly deny that we are in the last days. Our feelings will block our vision to the reality that surrounds us. If you don't see an appetite for global government right now, you're just not looking close enough. You're not looking close enough. It is there. Heads in the sand. You know, I always heard an ostrich will place his head in the sand when life gets tough so he doesn't have to see what's going on. And, you know, I thought that was a legitimate reality for an ostrich, but come to find out, that's just a myth. I mean, I may be wrong, but what I searched, that's not true. And I was like, why would God create a creature that's going to stick his head in the sand when the lion's coming? And my understanding, that's not. Man, you seen an ostrich run? An ostrich was built to run, without a doubt. But for humans, sometimes we'll just stick our head deep in the sand so we don't have to see the danger that is around us. You know, I look at God's creation, and I see the beauty of the character that God has placed in nature. It's amazing to me. And I just saw it yesterday. Every year, we have Canadian geese that nest in our neighborhood. And the faithfulness of a mama and a daddy when it comes to Canadian geese is amazing. It's amazing. And this year, it's been a little different because one family had, I think, 6 babies. And then, this is the first time I've ever seen this happen, another family has 2 little babies. But you can rest assured, one's in the front and one's in the back. And I don't care how big you think you are, you go near that geese, that geese is going to tell you how it is. And watching them swim in the lake in perfect, perfect order, one in the front, one parent in the front, one in the back, in perfect order. Who designed that? God. Because Canadian geese don't have a fallen nature. Canadian geese will not yield to the spirit of the Antichrist, right? I know you say that's silly, Pastor, but I want you to hear what I'm saying. Here, created in the beauty of God, in the perfection of his hand, that has come for us to overcome this fallen nature that seeds characteristics in us that are unbecoming to the creation that God has made us. He is more than able to rescue and lift that spirit out of us and place the Spirit of God within so that we function in the order of his original design. He did not create us to be overcome with deception. Our feelings will block our vision to the reality that surrounds us. Spiritual blindness will lead to ever-increasing bondage. And that's how it is. If I'm not seeing, things are becoming darker and darker. If I'm not seeing, I'm still traveling down life's road. And I'm going in places that God did not design for me to be in, but I find myself there. And then this is the strange thing about deception. The longer we are deceived, the harder it is to acknowledge deceit. I'm going to say that again. The longer we are deceived, the harder it is to acknowledge deceit. It's like this. You get an email from a prince from Nigeria. And this prince just needs a little bit of money for to help him get back to Nigeria. And if you will send them your account number and give it to them, they will put that money 500 times fold back in your account. You think people buy into that? They are. There are people that do that. But it works like this. Kind of reminds me when I went to the fair when Barb and I were engaged. And she wasn't in Columbia at that time. She was in Rochester. I had a $20 bill. And I looked and I saw a stuffed toy that I wanted to give my baby. And I had $20. And the guy behind the counter knew I had $20. And every time I'd hit something, I'd hear this quick talk. You got to do that? Do that. And then I would throw it again. But I said, get it? Look, you got to do that? Do that. And I'm like, man, this $20 going down. And I was like, oh, I get it this time. And boom, I got it. I want that one. You got to do that. And next thing I know, the $20 are gone. Yet I'm walking out with the bear. But that guy knew this. I'll deceive him until I get everything he's got. And that's all I had was $20. That's how deception works. There have been people that sent the money to the Nigerian prince. And he didn't make it so big that they wouldn't do it. Yet when it came, another response came. I'm going to send it, but if you do this, I'll be able to send you even more. So what happens? They send the money. And then they tell someone about it. I've sent the money. And someone will tell them, stop! He's deceiving you! But they don't stop. They don't stop. Why do they not stop? For when I have been deceived, one of the hardest things for me is to admit that I've been taken. So deception is this bondage that wars around us to make us feel that we cannot let go. Because if we let go, we have to admit that what? We were deceived. That we were wrong. In the fallen, the beast is going to use that on the hearts of people because he's going to take little pieces until deception is in such a mass that we will struggle to admit that we've been taken. And when I say the beast, his spirit is already alive upon this earth. If we can bow for a moment in prayer this morning. And if you're able to stand to your feet, thank you, Jesus. O Church of God, the seal that rests upon you is more than able to withstand any attack that this world will suffer. Any deception that the evil one seeks to bring upon our hearts, that seal, the Holy Spirit, is more than able to expose and to keep us in Jesus Christ. And if this is in your heart today, will you ask God to give you eyes that see and ears that hear, so that you can navigate these crazy times that we live in? And Father, we pray for our young people that are here today. We pray a special outpouring of your Spirit upon their lives so that they will perceive things far beyond what we were able to perceive, so that they stand, and not only do they endure, but they will lead others to the salvation that you've blessed them with. Are we listening? Oh, Lord Jesus, give us ears that hear. Give us hearts attuned to listen. Draw us back into your word in fresh and new ways. Open our understanding so that we do not lead the blind, but that we lead others to life because we see. Is your heart ready to withstand the intensification or the intensifying of the spirit of the Antichrist upon this earth? I say to you, child of God, it is more than ready. It is more than ready. As you draw into his presence, God's holy people passionately and faithfully stand their ground. Every saint of God, every child of God in the hearing of this now, have feet planted by the strength of God, that whatever comes to push their faith over will find no success. But it'll be so rooted, their faith and passion in you will be so rooted that others will see and glorify you. Refuse to surrender the ground of God that dwells in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As we sing this song of worship to God,